Well, there's a popular book franchise called Berkelow Books. I'm sure some of you have been to the one down at, I think it's Berrima, something like that. There's one that Bree and I used to visit in Cronulla quite often. And sometimes when I felt brave enough, I would go down the religious section and I'd look at the shelf to see what was on for this week. And, you know, you'd find all sorts of things there. I wrote a list of some of the ones that I found. There's one day in particular had the Quran. They had some books on Buddhism. They had a book about the Dalai Lama. There was one on fortune telling. There was some to help you choose a religion if you got stuck. There was some on the Pope or the different popes. Books on Judaism. There was a book to tell you if heaven is real or not. And of course, amongst all of these, there was a Bible shoved in between them. Now, I don't know how many people would walk past that aisle each day, but I guarantee you that barely anyone would give a second thought to the Bible. Because to everyone else, if they're not a Christian, the Bible just seems to be one among hundreds and thousands of different types of religious books that you read. There's nothing really special about it at all. But for the Christian, for the people who are God's children, the Scriptures are the very Word of God. And therefore they are extremely, extremely important. Charles Hodge said this: the best evidence of the Bible being the Word of God is to be found between its covers. He says it proves itself. When you read the Scriptures, you can see that it is from God. The Holy Bible, the Word of God, it is authoritative. It's authoritative because of whom it comes from. It comes from God. It is inspired by Him, and it is only for His people, for the church, the true believers. The Apostle Paul, when he was contemplating his own death, he wrote his final letter to Timothy, his younger companion, and he said this, 2 Timothy 3, I'll read verse 14 and 15. He said, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned, and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." Okay, he's talking about the Old Testament there, the sacred writings, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then he says this, verse 16. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Now, I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of people who have read the Bible and they'll like some of it. Some of it they won't like. Some of it they'll believe. Some of it they won't believe. Some will be relevant to them. Some they don't really care. We see all different people in our walks of life, especially in Christians as well. Many Christians will have different views on the Scriptures. People will say that the Bible's rubbish. We don't need to read it. We don't need to think too much about it. Well, Paul is saying here that every single part of the Scriptures, every single part, whether you like it or not, is there because God has put it there. It is breathed out by God, and therefore it is the authority. God is the author. He is the one who was behind it. Now, God didn't write this with a pen and paper, which is what a lot of people ask. God inspired men to write down what He wanted them to write down. And that's why we have differences in grammar. People emphasize different things coming from different people. But God is behind all of it. That's what we need to remember. God is behind all of the Scriptures that we have. Now, we must also remember when we see the Bible, it's not just an important book because people read it and because there's hundreds of thousands of Christians around the world reading the Bible. See, even if the Bible was not read, even if the Bible was seen as being, you know, sort of secondary, a bit ridiculous, not very popular, that doesn't mean that it's not authoritative, and it doesn't mean that it's not true. And it doesn't mean that it's not from God. See, the world we live in today will say, forget the Bible. And you'll begin to see lots and lots of people, including in churches, who do not read the Bible. And lots of people will say, it's so old, who cares about it? Not many people read it these days. And therefore, when they begin to think like that, they say, it's not important. Nobody else reads it. It's only those few people at Mittagong Presbyterian Church who read their Bibles. big whoop. And that's sadly how a lot of people think and how a lot of people view the Bible. An actor, what's his name? Sir Ian McKellen, I think that's how you pronounce it. He is quite an outspoken homosexual man, and he actually tells everyone, each hotel he goes to, he will take the Bible from the bedside table and he will rip out of the Bible each part that speaks against homosexuality. He says he doesn't like those parts, and so he rips them out, but the rest of it's fine. And so he picks and chooses from the Bible what he likes and what he thinks is acceptable. And he says this quite often. Therefore, he's making himself the author or the editor of the Bible. He seems to think he'll do a far better job than God would himself. The Apostle Peter wrote in his second epistle, 2 Peter 1:21, he said, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Men spoke from God. This is something that has been given to us from God himself. This should amaze us when we open our Bibles. It is given to us by God. Now, even Jesus uses the scriptures to rebuke Satan. We see this in the temptations of Jesus. Matthew 4, I'll use. Jesus could have just told Satan to be gone. He has the power, he has the authority to do that. But he didn't. See, Satan tried to use the Bible against Jesus, quoting from Deuteronomy. Jesus could have said, "Been gone, that's it." But he didn't. He used the scriptures as well to rebuke Satan, showing us that the Bible, the scriptures that we have, are authoritative. They do have power. Hebrews 4 says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Not butter knife, a sword. It can be used against Satan. It can be used against sin. It can be used to encourage you, to build you up, to strengthen you, to give you joy when you feel none, to give you direction. It can be used to humble you when you see more and more who God is in the scriptures. It is a gift. It is a gift that we have, and yet we neglect it so often because our favorite TV show's on. Because I'm bored, I'd rather do something else than read the Bible. Perhaps you've been told it's not relevant anymore. Our culture will say that. It's not relevant. Get over it. It's so old. I had a young fellow say to me once, "I don't read the Old Testament because it's so old." And I looked at him and said, "Do you even realize how old the New Testament is? That doesn't make sense." It is a gift from God, the scriptures. They are relevant. See, the Bible is always relevant because it tells us about the holiness of God. It tells us about our sinfulness before him. These things will never change. It tells us how we can be reconciled to God, which will never change. We seem to think because we change as human beings and the world around us changes and the Bible stays the same, therefore it's out of date. It's not. It never needs to be redone or fixed up or edited again because it comes from God. This is what we must remember every single time we go to open our Bibles. Think, who is behind this? Who has given this to me to read, to meditate on, to pray about? It is breathed out by God, Paul says. Therefore, it is relevant, it is important, it is special. It is a holy book for God's people. Now, in saying that, in these couple of sentences that Paul says to Timothy here, he's not arguing for the inspiration or the authority of Scripture because he already believes it. He knows it to be true. He knows it is authoritative. So he's saying, because it is breathed out by God, it is authoritative. And therefore, it is profitable for us. And he gives us a list. He says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting and training in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that the Christian may be complete, for every good work. Without the Bible, you will not be complete. The first thing Paul says it is profitable for is for teaching. Now, I'll go through these reasonably quick. What does it teach us? Well, it's quite simple in many ways. Who created the world? How do we have our worldview as a Christian? How do we know that the world was created by God? It's through the scriptures. That's how we know. And we know it's telling the truth because it comes from God. We can see that all the way through the scriptures. So many things that we learn, simple things as well. How God created the world, the first man, the first woman who were created. Why are we here? What are we to do as we live here? More importantly, how are we saved? By the gospel. In a sense, it's like a textbook for us. How to live. How to live in this world for God. It's even more than that because it reveals to us so many wonderful truths about God. It's in the scriptures we see these intimate prayers between God the Father and God the Son. In John 17, we see the attributes of God through the scriptures. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were told to remember the law of Moses that God spoke and had written down. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And as Moses died, the second in command, who was Joshua, before he led the people into the promised land, he told them that they must remember these books of the law, those first five books. He says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, I'm not saying that if you read your Bible, you're going to be prosperous and be successful. Now, you might be, but that's up to God. But we must meditate on it. Read it daily. Think about it. That's what Joshua was saying to them. Be careful to do what is written in it. Read it as often as you can read it. And you'll find yourself as a Christian, the more time you spend reading the scriptures, you'll begin to grow in a relationship with God. You may perhaps begin to see his will for you in your life more clearly. You might even begin to understand why things happen to you in this life. Why am I struggling? Why have I lost my job? And you'll count them as nothing because you see God more clearly for who he is. Paul also says that it is far more profitable. He says it's profitable to reproof or rebuke us. Now, not many people like to be told when they are doing something wrong. I know I don't like to be told if I'm doing something wrong. I know my children don't like to be told if they're doing something wrong. But it is loving to be told when you are doing something that is wrong, that is incorrect. Spurgeon has this great quote. He says, "When he that reads his Bible to find fault with it will soon discover that the Bible finds fault with him." The Bible doesn't just tell us about God, but it tells us about us, about who we are. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7, he said, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" So is the law there being seen as something bad? Lots of people don't like the law. Lots of people don't like being told what to do. But Paul says, no, it's good. Because it's through this, it's through the law that I was able to see that I'm sinning. It's through the Bible that I'm able to see that I'm sinning. I'm not living up to God's standard. Paul's saying this is a good thing. It's a good thing to have the law. It's a good thing for us to have the scriptures, to have the Bible to tell us what we are doing, what we are doing wrong. The Bible, as the Word of God, has the authority to tell us that we are sinners. And the Bible has the authority to tell us what we are doing is not right. Because it comes from God. God who has never sinned, who cannot sin. If there were two thieves who went to a bank and they stole money, And they run back to their hideout, and one thief looks at the other and he says, "You're a thief." What do you think the other guy's going to say? He's going to say, "You hypocrite, because you did the exact same thing as me." And sadly, sadly, that's how the world view Christians. "You hypocrite, because you're sinning just like I'm sinning. How dare you tell me that I'm doing the wrong thing?" Now, in many cases, we will tell people, "You are sinning, you are doing the wrong thing." Perhaps we should say, "We are all sinners. We are all doing the wrong thing because the Bible told me." The Bible tells us when we sin. The Bible tells us when we fall short of the glory of God. It's not coming from God. It's not coming from us. It's coming from God, who is the great authority. The problem, you see, is in this world we live in, people don't like to be told it's wrong. In fact, I heard this: some school has stopped using red pens to mark errors on children's papers because it can discourage them rather than show them their error. And so many times I've heard people tell me they hate the Bible because the Bible judges them and shows them that they fall short of God's glory. But it is loving. It is loving of God to say, "You are falling down so far in this area here. You are sinning so much in this area here." And he doesn't leave it there, see? We don't just sit there in the mud thinking, "No, that's it. I sin and that's it." He says to us, "This, the scriptures are also profitable for correction." So you keep reading. The Bible can help me. If I upset my wife, I don't go to a how-to manual to try and figure out how to make her happy. I go to her. Same as for God. If I sin against God, well, what do I do? Well, I'll go to the Bible. I'll go to the scriptures, his word. I'll say, "What do I do to get better? How can I be corrected in what I've done wrong here?" The Bible tells us how God can forgive us, how we can live for him. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, the Israelites were brought out of Egypt to serve God, and God had all of these requirements. I say this all the time because I hear so many people say they hate it. And God gave all the Israelites the commandments or the rules, the laws that they had to uphold. And so many people think it's boring to read. So many people think it doesn't mean anything to us these days. Let me tell you what does. All the rules and the instructions, the Ten Commandments, the sacrifices that they had to do, the burnings of incense and the offerings, they were so that an unholy people could live in the presence of a holy God. Simple as that. You have to do these things that God requires. This is how you are to live correctly in God's presence. You need to be pure, so there are the sacrifices and the offerings. You need to be holy. There's the Day of Atonement, the removal of sins. They have the praising and the offering to God, the gifts that they bring before him, the incense that they burn to him. God gives them correction, how they are to be right in his sight. This is what you must do. This is what you must do. The scriptures are profitable for correction. How we as Christians are to live in God's presence. Now, we may not have to do those things that they did in the Old Testament. That's because Jesus has done it for us. Now, it's not a book of rules and strict guidelines by an angry God, as many people will say. And it's not a book about a God who has lost his people and he's just trying to win us back like a needy person. The Bible is a gracious gift from God who does not need us, and yet he gives it to us so that we can live in his presence, so that we can live in a far better way than what we do, so that we can come back to him. And he tells us how we can come back to him, that his son has made salvation possible. Psalm 19, we had read to us earlier. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweet also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Do you read your Bible and do you think like that? How good it is to read the scriptures. Or do we think, nah, I'll just do my quick reading and then I'm going to go watch my movie. I'm going to go talk to my friend on the phone. Does it mean more to you than the sweetest of honey? Or the most pure of riches? Do you delight in reading the scriptures, as the psalmist does? Is it a joy to you? Do you read them as pure? Does it enlighten your eyes? Does it encourage you? Does it build you up? It is more to be desired than money, food, to be corrected by God, to be taught by God himself. And we see that it doesn't end there. It's also profitable for training us in righteousness. A very quick recap. The Bible is profitable for teaching. So how we can know God. So biblical doctrines, what is right. For reproof, what is not right. For correction, how to get right or stay right. And now for training in righteousness. For training in righteousness. How do we live this out? How do we get up each day and live out our day? For the Christian, this means we are constantly reading the Bible. We are constantly reading the Bible, meditating on it, thinking about it, reminding ourselves throughout the day of the things that we've read in the morning, read in the evening, whatever. Finding our strength through it. The word training can also mean discipline, instruction. When people train for sports, they will tend to work far harder in the training than what they do for the actual event. I've had some friends who are athletes, so I have nothing in common because I don't do that at all, and they will run and run and run mornings and nights, all sorts of things, you know, have a special diet, and then when the actual day comes, they'll sleep in and they'll have a different sort of meal and then they'll run the race. See, the training is harder. It's harder. So we're expected to have a hard life because we're training for something that's going to be greater. Paul uses this sort of imagery at the end of 2 Timothy. He says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. He's saying, so because the scriptures come from God, breathed out by God, they tell us how we are to live for him now. They help us in our battles each day. They prepare us, more importantly, for eternity with him. We read things all throughout the scriptures, you know, fear God, bear good fruit, love one another. We see these things. They're not just things that we read or we pin up in our kitchen. They're things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live out as Christians. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. Now in closing, let me read from Deuteronomy 6. Moses said this after he had just repeated the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. He says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. You shall teach them diligently to your children, to talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you see that? Do you see how important it was for the Israelites to remember the word of God? Write them everywhere. Take them with you to work. Let people laugh at you because you open your Bible when you sit there to have your meal. Who cares? It's important for us because we need to know the scriptures and we need to remember it's from God for our benefit, to help us. It is profitable for us. Why would we not want to? Moses encourages them with this before he dies. Do these things. Remember these things that I have told you. Memorize them. Meditate on them. These are the things that we are to do as Christians. memorize them, put memory verses around the kitchen, whatever. All these things will help us as we live our life day to day. The scripture is our final authority, and it's not just because we need it, but it's because of who it comes from the one true holy God. Let's join together. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you, firstly, for the scriptures that we have. We thank you that because of them, we can know you better. We thank you that because of them, we can know what sin is. We can know how to turn away from sin and turn to you and to live lives that are more pleasing. We know that this is hard. This is very hard for us to do. And we come before you as your children now, asking that you will help us. Help us to find more joy, more delight, more pleasure in reading your word than we do in the things around us. Help us not to desire the things in this world above time with you, above time reading and meditating and learning and growing. Help us if we are in bad patterns in our lives. Help us to set new ones, to walk on new paths, reading daily the scriptures, meditating on them daily, delighting in it, and being built up. We ask that you will help us with these things. Encourage us and strengthen us, we pray. And we come before you in Jesus' name. Amen.